This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That shows me for asking you 2 seconds before the segment starts. You want to do a read?
Usually you get away with it. The computer, I was like, hey, we do one of our updates. Why is every computer always asking you to update every 3 hours?
Because these computers really want to be updated.
And then I hit the wrong button. I hit the restart now button instead of the postpone button. It makes no sense to me. Every 3 hours you get a, hey, do you want to be restarted? It's like, I told you yesterday. I told you when the show started. Like, we're good. Postpone. And then it got me where I hit the wrong button.
And then, by the way, it obviously doesn't ask you when it's like in not sleep mode, but not being active.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's just trying to jam us up personally.
I think so. It'd be nice if it was more like my, my AI bot and says some nice things every now and again.
That's
like
maybe, true. Well, maybe you programmed pops, it to go there.
Or maybe just pops up and says, see, the camera's in here. You're having a nice hair day.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe just like, hey, everything's good. Just want to let you know everything's good. Carry on with your day.
And I'm going to save the next reboot until Lima comes in.
That's right.
He'll hate it. Now, however, speaking of trying to get away with it, Michigan did not get away with it. The hammer has been dropped after a full plus year of a year plus, rather, of Ohio State fans screaming that Michigan cheated during their national championship season and that the NCAA would absolutely come down on Michigan with just this side of the death penalty. There were penalties dropped today. Jim Harbaugh got a 10-year show clause. Sharon Moore is expected to get a small additional penalty, but that is to be decided a different time. And Michigan is expected to get a pretty significant fine. But there is no death. There is no hammer being dropped. And like a certain radio host that got screamed at by Ohio State fans, including them insulting his intelligence, which is fair because I'm not that smart, I believe when I had said for 18 months, this is relatively speaking, this is another nothing burger and there will be no hammer dropped.
Yeah.
I believe no hammer was dropped today. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. So, I mean, in turn, you get to do I Was Right Radio. So congratulations. Yeah, you know, it really kind of speaks to the idea that the NCAA is just a feckless, powerless organization.
You hate to see it.
I mean, really, that's all it is. It's like, oh, we wanted to do something that would really punish you, but you know what? I don't think we got it in us.
Well, I actually have to say,
hey, we'll go hard at Jim Harbaugh because he can't do anything about it because he's in the NFL.
So that's the funny thing, like a 10-year show clause for a coach who is, I think, 61 and back in the NFL and having success. It is like the most look at me, Louie kind of move with absolutely no circumstances, like no actual like
issue. They didn't want to punish Michigan. Like it was so obvious. They didn't want to punish them, and that's okay. Here's where I will give them some sense of credit, and it won't be like I'm not going to dump a credit bucket on their lawn or anything and be like, congratulations to you.
Sounds like you're dumping a credit bucket on their lawn.
But they at least acknowledge the idea that if you punish Michigan with a postseason ban or two, all you are doing is punishing a bunch of people that weren't actually involved in the situation.
No, that's actually what they got right. Like, absolutely. Yeah, this is the credit bucket. Drop it. Because for a long time, the NCAA has almost exclusively punished guys who weren't there or weren't involved.
And it always just seems so stupid to me. Even like Bryce Underwood, for instance, he's gotten there. In no world should he be punished for what happened a couple years ago and what happened with Connor Stallions in particular. He should be able to play football and enjoy his time there, and it is what it is. So I do think the NCAA got that part right.
So you know me. There's nothing more I enjoy than saying Michigan, than one, hoping Michigan gets the hammer dropped on them, but two, talking about how ridiculous the NCAA is. I don't know if it's growth or they just understood they couldn't overreach to a certain extent and wanted no part of another lawsuit. But after talking a big game for 18 months and after like relentlessly pursuing every angle that they possibly could and bringing this story up and making it national news whenever they could, they kind of realized their limitations, and then they didn't overextend that reach trying to prove how much power they have. I don't care if it's growth or if they just maybe it's just I don't want to get sued again. I don't care whatever it is, because this is the way you do it. The school pays a huge fine. I don't know where that money goes or what they do with it, but the
$20 million, that it's basically, I mean, that's couch change to them.
A feckless little dumb show clause for Jim Harbaugh. I actually think Sherrone Moore got a little show clause. I think it was 2 years, something like that.
When they added on another game to him, too. Remember, he self-imposed for two games. They added on another game.
But I also think what this does is be surprised if on stuff like this, not everything, but on stuff like this where it's arguable, like whether the NCAA can enforce anything, whether or not that what is done is actually illegal, like the gray area, if teams ever accept a self-made punishment for a postseason ban again. Right?
I mean, you'd have to really do something that was obvious and was fraught with problems. And I always had a hard time with them trying to punish them anyway, with just the idea that the fans remember where they were. Michigan fans know what happened. You're not going to be able to erase the 15-0, even if you came up with everything under the sun. So you're really just wasting time and effort and making a lot of Michigan fans angry in the process.
Yeah, and it's funny because Ohio State fans got out of this. I've seen it go one of two ways. One, furious because it wasn't enough punishment, or the spin of, I mean, that fine's gigantic. Of course it's going to hold them back. They got what they deserve. And it's like,
which is laughable if you're making that the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a case of you wanted something to happen, it didn't happen, and now you're just being like, oh no, it did happen, just not the way I expected.
Or other people coming out today and they're like, asterisk, that's what this title is now, and this confirms it. It's like, no, it doesn't. This doesn't confirm any sort of, no one's looking at that title as if it was dampened or as if it was a less than title. Sorry, the NCAA didn't do enough to come out and make that suggestion.
So I was right that they were not going to get the hammer dropped on them. So I get that. Am I right now that everything's come out, now that there's no more new discoveries coming out of this damn thing?
Yeah.
Is I right how just completely pointless and stupid this whole thing was?
Well, yeah.
And how Ohio State fans, and I, again, Walmart Ohio State fan here, how much they overreacted and how, honestly, Ohio State fans' reaction to this was probably a bigger overreach than most of the things we've seen the NCAA do.
I just think it made Ohio State fans feel good in the moment. You know, it's kind of like Steelers fans yesterday.
Would we feel the same way if you had beaten Michigan the last couple of years?
Well, I if they hadn't won the title, it'd be a what would we even talk about? You know what I mean? Like if they'd still won the title, then I think it's still on the table that they'd feel this is what they feel like they have to do.
I always felt like some of Ohio, for some reason, despite even now having the title that they have, Ohio State fans got really in their feelings losing to Michigan the way they did. And I always felt like that added 20% juice for Ohio State fans on, that's the only way they can beat us is if they cheat.
But I think you make a good point or allude to a good point. The idea that Ohio State fans, if Ohio State hadn't just won the title, It's I think, a different story, but also they started this fight when they hadn't won the title.
Yeah.
You know, they started this fight where it was Michigan was champs, and with Ryan Day, we truthfully never knew when Ohio State would win again. You know they're always in contention. You know they're always right there. But there's no guarantee, especially with the playoff. And so I think people got hot and bothered. You got angry about it. Then you won the title yourself, and now, if we're being truthful about it, we should start to move towards just pissing off Paul Feinbaum. Like, the new goal should be kind of doing what the SEC always does.
Did he throw a little bit of a temper tantrum on this one?
Not on this one, no. But the idea that he always goes so hard for the SEC. Mm-hmm. Like, the new goal can be the Big Ten has won back-to-back seasons. You make it 3 years in a row. You make it 4 years in a row. And then you just pretend everybody else in college football doesn't matter the same way that you do. Like, that's the unifier.
All right. Given that I think a lot of people looked at this and agreed, the NCAA has lost so much power and so much clout and so much ability to basically bulldog football and in college athletics the way they used to, or at least the ones that have enough publicity to push back and sue them. Does that mean college football doesn't have the common enemy anymore? Does that take a little juice out of this for anyone? I will tell you, I have lived on my dislike of how the NCAA has governed college athletics for a long time, and it's like, well, NIL's here.
I mean,
players are getting paid.
That's the thing, is the NIL hasn't shown any sort of, they put up no guardrails through the NIL era, and we've gone through 40 years of change in about 4 years of college football, and they've just kind of been along for the ride the entire way. They know they're going down.
But that's what's so interesting to me, is the idea that, like, part of what, like, spurred my interest in college football for a very long time was just the NCAA is a punitive and crappily run organization that punishes athletes and punishes the wrong people consistently and extends their overreach. And now it's like, it's like watching a Mike Tyson fall from grace, but like to an extent of now he's 80 and kind of feckless and just really loves the ganj, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you see what
he's
happens.
He's not 80 now, by the way.
No, he's not. But you see what happens when you just don't have the power that you used to. And like they have a clear understanding that Michigan football being good is much better for the sport than Michigan being what it was last year, even with the win against Ohio State.
So Jake told us what I can only describe as one of the funnier reactions to the Michigan ruling. Jake, can you clue us in on some local folks' reaction to Michigan not getting the hammer dropped?
Yeah, so you guys talked about Michigan fans and Ohio State fans' reaction to this. Well, Akron Zips fans, not too happy. A lot of my Akron buddies texted me today, upset at this ruling because Akron is bowl ineligible because of their performance in the classroom, while as Michigan was involved in this whole cheating scandal and didn't get much of a punishment.
I love you, Akron Zips fans. I do. But this kind of shows why you stink in the classroom and at football.
Now they're going to stop after
because
stink.
Isn't the point... Isn't the damn point of if you fall short in the classroom, you shouldn't be on the football field? Isn't that more important than they had a weird dude with a great name? Stallions is a great name. In the stands, kind of cheating?
Here's where I defend Akron. I've never cared what my athletes do in the classroom. They should be looked at as something separate anyway.
But isn't the first bar you have to pass?
I think it's ridiculous they even try to pretend that that matters.
Well, but okay, but the point is, historically, isn't the first bar you have to pass the academic bar?
I don't know, Akron,
and then we go to the football.
Akron's got to get better at giving some of their players some C's. Okay, that's what Akron had to get better at.
I think they need to start giving better players C notes, and then we can talk about it.
You think Nick Saban was worried about whether or not a guy passed failed? There's a lot of players that ended up getting some C's and D's and ended up passing.
But again... Then you're even bad at faking it, right? Like either your students aren't great students, whatever. But then you just don't even have the follow through to like academically kind of hedge things, make yourself look better.
That's college sports in a nutshell for how many years now?
I mean, can Zips fans be mad at anybody but their own administration?
That's kind of what it is. Like if I was in charge of Akron, I would be like, so what happened? Didn't you know we have to just give certain amount of players just certain grades? What are we concerned about their grades here? We watched way too many student athlete commercials to really care about these grades.
Michigan, the hammer was not dropped. Do I get to do I Was Right Radio with the Michigan ruling and Guardians concerns in spite of another series win in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? Man, people are really already pouring into town for the Morgan Wallen thing. I know we got the Gardos game tonight. That traffic doesn't usually pick up till about 5 o'clock for us, 5:30. The amount of people that I've seen drive in and like lines backed up to our parking garage. Where's Morgan tonight?
Brown Stadium.
Yeah. That's a hike. I mean, I've made that hike where I've parked here because I pay for my parking pass and then walk to the Brown Stadium.
Yeah.
So it can be done by a fat man. I'm just simply saying, ambitious. Ambitious for a Friday night where you're going to be drinking a lot. Because I don't drink a lot going to Browns games and back since I'm working them. I will tell you, if you add 10, 15 cervezas from in between the time, that walk back would not be bountiful.
I once tried to walk from my parking spot, and then I decided to take a scooter.
Uh-huh.
And the problem with those scooters is they all have the zones that you can and cannot park in. And so by the time I got in one of the zones that you can't park in, it basically turned out to be a wash anyway. Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm not a scooter guy.
I was for a very little bit when I lived downtown, every now and again, because I was a solid 7-minute walk from where our workplace is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, if I was running late, I would just hop on the scooter and it'd be like a 30-second scooter ride.
So
cost me like $1.19.
It's a non-starter because optically it looks ridiculous. It does.
I guess so.
I'm a very large man. I have a long torso. I have a bountiful chest and belly. It just, it's like, is that a wizard? Like, you can't even tell that there's a scooter beneath me, because I'm just, it's like, is he levitating down? Is that David Blaine? Is that fat David Blaine? And you're like, no, there's a scooter under there somewhere.
Is that Jesus or nope, just Nick Wilson?
Also, I did see one of those, like, you know, the people who, I almost took a shot. You know, when somebody gets one of the motorized scooters, the little ones, like ones?
Of course, yeah.
I saw one of those yesterday and I'm like, I think you're missing the point of like what a motorized bicycle is supposed to be.
How are they missing the point?
Because those things look stupid. They do. No one looks cool on a moped. Not if you're older than 16.
That's kind of been the prevailing thought for a while. The joke when you're like 15 that we all can't say on the radio right now, but you know that we're all thinking about riding a moped.
There a common joke there?
Yeah, there's a common joke there. I'll tell you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You have to tell me off the air. Yeah,
tell Jimmy to the break. Yeah,
sounds intense.
Yeah, I just can't say it on the air.
Okay. But anyways, I saw one of those yesterday, and it took a lot. Actually, here's the problem, is because I've spawned smartasses. So I immediately checked myself walking out of dinner, because there was a guy getting off a scooter, and I was like,
"Yeah."
I even took the breath in to like start laughing, and I was like, "No."
Remember watching that the Tom Hanks movie, Larry Crown. Do you remember that movie?
No.
In that movie, he rides a scooter. I watched that with my
movie
dad.
Movie never happened.
I watched that movie with my dad. My dad was like, maybe I should get a scooter. I'm like, Dad, when would you use that?
And then your dad passed away.
That's what happened. If he wouldn't have passed away, he was riding a scooter.
People are saying it. The problem is, though, I took a breath in to make a sarcastic comment or laugh, tamped it down, because I was like, you're an adult now. All right, let's have some decorum.
Whoa. We're not going to scooter shame people.
My 15-year-old daughter did.
You see people riding scooters around? Seriously, the reason why, if you ever see a person riding a scooter around.
I always thought it was DUIs.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. That is the telltale sign. If somebody at your workplace you all of a sudden see is riding a scooter into work, it's because they just got a DUI. They're not telling you they just got a DUI, but they're telling you they just got a DUI.
I was thinking I was being wrong-minded about
it. No, it's 100%. It's not even, you nail on the head. It's exactly where I was going with it, because that's the reality of it.
But Olivia did make a joke and laughed, and I'm pretty sure the guy heard. Now, unlike Vanessa, who gets mortified in these circumstances, it gave me the freedom to laugh, which I enjoyed. But was there a little bit of guilt? I'm like, he's already riding a moped. We don't have to do this. He was like 50.
Yeah, that guy got a DUI. There's no chance that guy didn't have a DUI.
He just really likes things that sound like blenders.
This was basic. This was a court ordered. That's part of the punishment. It's part of the punishment in getting a DUI is the understanding that now
it's
you have
humiliation
to ride. Now you have to ride a moped. It's a public embarrassment.
Why would you be able to ride a moped, but not like a car?
They used to put like sandwich boards on people back in the day to really publicly shame them. This is the new publicly shaming. Would you say why can't they ride cars?
Yeah, no. Why can't they drive cars if you can drive a moped?
It's just how the laws work. For some reason, you can ride a moped, but you obviously can't ride a car if they take your car away.
God knows.
But the moped is within the legal bounds.
God knows. You can't drink a moped, I guess, is that? I mean, we're learning. This is a learning experience.
The mopeds top out at a certain speed, but I'm with you. Mopeds go fast enough that you can make it problematic if you want to.
I think it is problematic. I don't think we're making it problematic.
You can make it just as problematic.
I mean, I am.
Is it because if you ride a moped into another car, you're not hurting the person in the other car, you're just hurting yourself.
And your pride.
Well, I mean, the moped, you're not like, there's no getting in an accident with a moped. The moped never wins that.
I'm seeing the logic. I still think there's something problematic in the undertone of it. Not your idea with it, but like the idea in general of like, this person can't be trusted to drive without getting drunk. Let's give them a much smaller, much more dangerous little zippy little thing.
Now, at that point, I think we've just as a society realized it's like, well, we don't really care if you hurt yourself. But we just care if you hurt other people.
Can't we just make them like drive a bike? Like ride a bike? I've seen that. That's a big one in the country.
But that can be very restrictive.
Like, Dale, stop.
You think a drunk's going to like bike 3 miles to work, let's say?
Might be good for him, quite frankly.
I don't think that's happening, man.
Yeah, get some cardio, maybe clear your mind, get the blood pumping.
I don't think they're ever making it. If they're the committed drunk that we're trying to make them be, I don't know ever making it.
Takes a lot of commitment. Sean Salisbury coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll see if he ever rode on a scooter. Are you worried about Tanner Bibee?
Not worried, but I'm definitely coming to the understanding, at least for this season, he's not materializing into the ace that we thought he was going to be. When he signed that big contract, I say big in relative terms, but when he signed that deal, it was under the assumption that it was going to be him and Gavin Williams dueling it out for the number one spot, and as of right now, Tanner Bibee, it has not been a good little stretch here, and to say he's been disappointing, I think, is an accurate assessment right now.
It's really, really hard. It's almost impossible as a batter to go in the tank so far that like your wins above replacement value drops to a negative spot. It can be done, but once you get like 100 games in you, it's really tough. As a starting pitcher, it's not that tough. And Tanner Bibee at one point was already a one war pitcher, and he is now a minus 0.1 pitcher after last night. And the funny thing is, like, you watch him and, like, I almost feel empathetic to the Guardians because I'm like, I don't know why he stinks. I just know he's not good right now.
Yeah, and I even tried yesterday when we interviewed Al Pal. I was like, you know, at home, his numbers are much better than on the road. Trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. And you watch yesterday's game, first three batters, no recorded outs, and it just the day wasn't going to go his way.
And what's weird about it is that was Gavin Williams for most of last year, but there were health issues, and then there were, like, he never got out of camp, like, off on the right foot, and it just kind of went downhill.
Yeah.
Tanner had some stretches this year where he was, if he wasn't your best pitcher, he was one of your best pitchers, and you had your problem was, you didn't have, it wasn't a problem, you had too many good pitchers at that point.
Yeah.
He's just, it doesn't look like, if you watch him, it doesn't look like there's anything bugging him. If you look at, like, the velo, if you look at, like, is it pitch selection? Because that feels like the thing that they're best at. So
look at his starts, though. And if you really go, and you can go case by case over the previous couple months, obviously in the very first month of the season, he had that game against Baltimore and the game against the Angels where he gave up, it was like 6 and 7 runs apiece. It wasn't very good. He doesn't get lit up.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. Like yesterday in that first inning, that, like, you saw what happened. He was able to bounce back. He was able to come back down to earth. And then he was able to at least battle and be able to get through what he needed to get through. It's just on the other side of that, even though he doesn't get lit up, I haven't seen him have a straight-up dominant performance. The way, like, we just saw Gavin take a no-hitter into the ninth inning, we haven't seen him have a dominant performance, and we're also going back to April.
So, all right, so one part that I know, one part is informed speculation. On one hand, I know that Tanner is a very driven, very, like, his goal is to be the ace of this thing right here, right? He wants to be the best pitcher on the staff. So I'm there's a reason why I'm bringing that up, because a fair amount of guys like that can be a little hard-headed. And then yesterday, when Al Pal did join us, he talked about when he and the catcher have been on the same page, he's been able to lock in and do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a part of me is like, whether it's too much information or whether he's not vibing with whoever is catching with him on any given day, there's a part of me that wonders if that stubbornness is two-sided for Tanner, and we're in the midst of it kind of pinging back at him.
I mean, it's interesting. He's got to find something, though, that gets him to another level. Like, right now, he reminds me of just, if you go out in golf, just a guy that has bogeys every single hole, and he's not parring many, he's not birding many, he's also not blowing up and having triples. It's just every outing seems very, very similar. Every outing seems... If you watched last night, we've seen that Tanner Bibee outing now... 8 out of the last 9 times he's been on the mound.
But what's weird is it doesn't feel okay. So here is Stephen Vogt's description of Tanner's performance last night.
I thought that was a gritty performance out of him. You know, with the way it's been going for him as of late, that early start like that could really get him down. Rebounded really well and turned in 5 2/3, gave us a chance to win. Really, really proud of the way he finished.
So we're still at the, I would say, making excuses or spinning his bad performances part from Vogt.
Yeah, I mean, Vogt always, he's a glass half full guy. He's always going
to
do that.
Fair, to some degree. But, like, there's not an outward expression of concern, which I think we probably should have at this point.
Well, you want it better at this point. I mean, that's got to be the reality.
There is the investment that you made also, by the way.
It's not like, again, it's not something for anyone to say, oh my gosh, what a disaster this has been. But it's also nothing to say like, well, we really got that steal we thought we were getting too. Like, he's got to progressively get better and better, and he hasn't.
Yeah, and maybe the concern for me is the farther you get away from the guy that you were, the more this becomes something. Like, right, like with Tristan, it was just injuries. And I'm not trying to suggest he's going on the Tristan path, because I think there was a lot into Tristan and how he's built and some health issues he's had previously, and then maybe some confidence issues, and then this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Tristan is a very unique case of what happens with pitchers sometimes. But, you know, with Tristan, you kept there. There was this in between before he really fell off. We were like, well, he's not awful. He's not like should be bumped out of the rotation bad. And the longer you're in that space, I just think the harder it is to get back to who maybe we thought you could be, where like it was a legitimate discussion in March. Who's the real ace of this squad, Tanner Bibee or Gavin Williams?
Right, right now, he looks like a solid 4 in a rotation. You know, like that's kind of what he's giving off. And if you were to tell me, do you want Slade Ciccone or Tanner Bibee to start a game for the fate of the universe, I'm taking Slade Ciccone.
It's crazy about this. He's actually won a bunch of games while pitching really poorly.
Yeah, but that part doesn't matter to me. The win-loss record.
No, fair.
I think he's won 5 straight decisions.
But I think that speaks to the idea of the Guardians fans are not openly, actively panicking about this. I think it's because he's won 5 of his last 6 decisions. Or sorry, his last 6 starts, he's won 5 of them.
I just think we've moved enough as baseball fans to understand that the win-loss record doesn't really matter.
I think you and I have, but I also think there are people who still, their batting average is the only thing that people
definitely are people that still
reference.
Hang on to that. And so maybe that's why the crowd isn't as loud in this regard. But I tend to think that I think more people than not do understand that doesn't matter.
When you say the crowd is more proud?
Or no, is that not allowed? I said loud.
Is that allowed?
I think so.
I don't want to paint it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A shroud. I'm trying to think if there's any other proud shroud. Gout, is gout a word?
Is gout a word?
Seems like it should be a word.
Dano Dowd? You went to gout.
That's fair. No. I mean, no.
Is that anything off limits? If you go to gout, is anything off limits?
That was not judgment that you heard there. Okay. That was me being genuinely amused that you pulled Dan O'Dowd out of the hopper because I was nowhere near Dan O'Dowd. So I was thinking words, you went names, and now I'm proud.
There we go.
Right. Land of the plane. You're welcome, Cleveland. That's the Marconi. 216-474-0092. Are you worried about Tanner Bibee? I guess maybe the better way is like, what's the appropriate level of worry for Tanner Bibee? And I think I'm kind of where most Guardians fans are. I'm like, it ain't great. I'm not really I'm kind of starting to like kind of wince when he goes out on the mound when I know he's going to start.
I mean, I can't. If you told me that we got one game for the Guardians to get into the postseason. one opportunity to get into the postseason and our whole season rests on this and Tanner Bibee's on the mound. Do I think we have a legitimate shot? Yeah, of course I think we have a shot, but I'm also not expecting him to go out there and be Scooble. I'm not expecting him to go out there and have a zero earned run performance through six innings. Let's get to the bullpen. I'm expecting a couple runs to be given up, more than a couple.
What level of concern are you with Tanner Bibee after another performance? But the Guardians did get the win last night. Atlanta up next, and Ross Tucker plays the NFL quarterback name game in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We've had a few questions like this to guess, but we had Ross Tucker on earlier this week to talk the Browns quarterback situation. But it's been interesting. You and I have talked a lot about the stall, the kind of a lackluster offseason from the NFL. And yeah, part of that was the idea that it seems like the juice that we've all been running on from the quarterback perspective, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, will they, won't they, seems like some fuel has run out of that engine.
Well, Josh Allen last offseason was a big charge with that, but then Josh Allen just won league MVP.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to rip on Josh Allen after that. And it's just been 6, 7, 8 years of whether it's Allen, whether it's Burrow, whether it's Lamar, and now even Mahomes. It's just been we've known these quarterbacks long enough. I think we all have a decision made up on them, even if it is an ever-evolving process.
Is some of the stall that a perceived non-elite quarterback won last year?
I do think that hurt the conversation. I think so many people went so hard, and rightfully so, for so many years about the idea that you needed to have a top five quarterback. Hell, the whole entire Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield thing was built on the idea that you couldn't have someone with Baker Mayfield's skill set, roughly 10th best in the NFL, and still win. And so, I do think there was something there. Like, if Jalen Hurts had won the Super Bowl the year that Baker had gotten thrown to the curb, I don't know that Baker would have gotten thrown to the curb, even if he was in the Super Bowl in a very recent timeline.
So part of the reason why we're having this discussion is this came up with Ross Tucker earlier this week, which led to the question on which quarterback needs a title the most going into the season.
Either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. I think we all recognize that. I don't know. You could probably flip a coin between those two guys. I guess I would submit to you that Lamar has been to, what, one AFC championship game? And also, Lamar has more around him. I mean, every year, look, he was awesome last year, awesome. But every year, a bunch of Ravens make the Pro Bowl and All-Pro and stuff like that every year. I want to say, I mean, I know for a fact Josh Allen was the only Bill that was first or second team All-Pro. I don't even know if any other Bills made the Pro Bowl. So I guess the answer would be, to me, it'd be Lamar, because we got to start to really ask some questions about him if they don't at least get to the conference championship game again this year. Whereas Josh Allen, you could at least make the argument that, well, they're just not as good as they need to be around him.
So the thing that I actually think makes this conversation interesting now, mm-hmm, is I think the reason we didn't talk about Lamar as much last year is he was coming off an MVP and an AFC title race. And now this year, Josh Allen is coming off an NFL MVP and an AFC title game. And I do think, while that's not winning a Super Bowl, I think that has taken a little bit of the steam out of both of those. Hey, is Lamar going to do it this year? Just because I do think the AFC title game is not nothing.
It's not nothing, but for me, it's clear that Lamar needs this way more than Josh Allen does. The MVP went a long way for Josh Allen in a way that it hasn't gone for Lamar. Lamar's won two of them. But the idea that Lamar, for so many years, has not been able to do anything in the postseason while having a dominant regular season, for whatever reason, we have critiqued and we have made that matter more in Lamar's case, way more than we have with Josh Allen's case. And I think a lot of that is Josh Allen. Even though Lamar's loss in the AFC title game was to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, that was Lamar not playing good. We've seen Josh Allen play strong football games and still lose to Patrick Mahomes.
I just think if the answer for the people want is, again, which quarterback needs a title the most of the season, is Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? If neither have one at the end of this year, the team is not going to be any closer to moving on from them.
Oh, no, that's not happening at all.
So this is more the legacy side of things.
This is a legacy thing. And then right now, the legacy for myself with Lamar, and this is where I think they're different. If you were to have me rank out the best regular season quarterbacks in the game, Lamar makes my top three list. He might even make my top two list in that regard, okay? And Josh Allen, same in that discussion as well. If you made me just rank them off postseason appearances and what they can do, Josh Allen doesn't move off of this list. Lamar definitely does. Lamar's not been the same quarterback in the postseason. So if we're talking about changing your narrative, changing your legacy, a Lamar Super Bowl win does that in a way that it doesn't do it for Josh Allen.
I would suggest that while Lamar versus Josh, I actually agree with a lot of things you've talked about with Lamar and why he would need it more. I don't think it's just between those two. Because I also think there's a class of quarterbacks that have got really great stats that have some postseason success but don't have enough. And I would argue we're getting to a point where if they don't do that, if they don't win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, you want to put Burrow's name on it. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I actually wasn't even thinking of Joe.
Oh, it sounded like you were subtweeting Joe.
Joe has been in a Super Bowl within the last 4 years. And yes, he's been in another AFC title game as well.
And you said some postseason success.
Yeah, some postseason success.
And he has. I mean, for the longest time, it was him and Tom Brady, the only ones that could beat Mahomes in the postseason.
I think it's more guys who are arguable whether they're the 7th best quarterback or 12th best quarterback. Like, I think Jared Goff needs to win this year. That roster is right in the sweet spot of the contention window. And I also think fans have started to do the thing that they did.
Jared Goff has played in a Super Bowl before, too.
He's played in it, but he was a party to it, not the reason for it.
So that's going more to Ross's idea that Lamar is more party to it than the reason for it. And that's why he gave Josh Allen the leg up there.
I would put Dak Prescott in this conversation, too. Like I think we're getting very, very close with Dak getting ready for that next contract push here in the next year, 18 months, whatever. I think Dak winning a championship, I don't know anybody in the NFL could, from a legacy standpoint or just a big picture standpoint, and then the practical standpoint, the financial standpoint.
It would validate his career, and it would validate him as a quarterback in a way that he's just not perceived to be right now.
Yeah, in a way that, I'll be honest with you, while I share a lot of the sentiment that most people do about Dak.
I like Dak more than
I think
most.
He's like the most disrespected quarterback on the planet. When he's been healthy
and
played full seasons, he's put up astronomical numbers, and he's carried a franchise that, I'm sorry, they would be an absolute nightmare without Dak Prescott the last 7 years.
The problem with Dak is that if you told me the Cowboys were going to win 7 games, even with the idea that you have one of the best wide receivers in the game with CeeDee Lamb, and really at least better than most defense, no one's blinking twice in that.
Yeah, some of that is just Cowboy cynicism because Jerry's built good teams that have done nothing in the postseason. Some of that is Dak cynicism because Dak doesn't have enough postseason.
Dak has too many games like he did 2 years ago against Jordan Love, where Jordan Love was a significantly better quarterback in that playoff game.
And while the NFC, I think, is wide open.
Playoff Dak is very similar to playoff Lamar in many respects.
And while I think the NFC is wide open, and I don't think the AFC is, I think it's a good roster. I think it's a great roster in Dallas. But I mean, if with a good, not great roster, if Dak won a Super Bowl, I think he checks off more legacy points, meaning like bridges a gap on a legacy that almost nobody in the NFL can. And then obviously there is just the idea that I think it would catapult into everybody's top five. Because you'd look at the numbers and then go, well, that matches the postseason success.
No, he's very much like Lamar. And his postseason success just has not been there. He's been one and done way too many times in the postseason.
Like, there are so many guys, like Tony Romo, for a long time benefited from the star. Like, that was an average-ass quarterback. He was not anywhere near the statistical realm or even the physical talent realm of the Mannings and the Bradys and the great quarterbacks of that era, right? There were times people considered him a top five. It's because he played in Dallas. Dak, it's gone the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Dak is, I mean, Tony got a pass for a lot of that stuff, not having enough postseason success. Jerry being, you know, a bipolar owner and GM.
They also just accepted Tony for who he is. I mean, Dak is one of the highest paid players in the sport. Like that,
Tony
Dak
made some money.
Dak's been
Tony went a pauper.
Yeah, but Dak's been very well compensated. And for someone like Dak that was pushing the narrative of being a top five quarterback in the sport, there's a lot of letdown from Dak.
So the contract thing I do think matters. And I actually think it's a fact that Dak is, the next time he goes to get paid, it'll be his third time having a hugely publicized pay dispute with Jerry Jones. And I think this is where Jerry kind of is a bit short-sighted in his, I'm just selling a soap opera here, is that I do think inevitably it's hurt Dak Prescott that he's continued to go and honestly make what every other quarterback in the NFL has made, the same way Tony Romo is. But because how Jerry's done business with Dak, with Micah, with all these guys, it's put him more in the line of sight of, hey, Dak is problematic. He's not good enough. Look at the money he's making because of the attention that Jerry's called to it over the last decade.
Doesn't also help that he's had a lot of injuries in the previous 3 years as well.
Yeah, but
just
which
completely
is,
derailed.
Which
seasons.
Is funny to me because again, which quarterbacks get the pass for injuries?
I know, no,
Joe Burrow,
I agree
and which
with you
don't.
That we are as a whole very unfair to Dak Prescott.
216-474-0092. What quarterback needs a title the most this season? Ross draw the line or drew the line between. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I just think there are more quarterbacks in that conversation, and I think there are guys that if you throw Dak Prescott in there, a championship, although I don't think it's happening this year, would be, I think it's tough to overstate how much that would mean for his legacy. Sean Salisbury, maybe we'll ask him this question in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.